What's going on? What's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, and you can see I have Bishop Hamner. How you doing, Bishop?
I am well. How about yourself, Jay Will?
Oh, doing pretty good. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or professional advice of any kind. We're not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast information. You can find the Jay Will Podcast homepage on rss.com, Jay Will Podcast. To donate to the podcast, please find the donate feature on the homepage, or you may do so via Cash App. It's $ Jay Will Podcast. Follow my music page, James Williams Music on Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by Jay Will Music Production, LLC. For more information, won't you hit me up at leewill@gmail.com or jwillmusicproduction@gmail.com. This podcast is also sponsored by Charlie's Music Factory. For all your recording and consulting needs, email Mr. Chris Crane at charliesmusicfactory@gmail.com. Also follow my radio station, Jay Will Gospel Radio, 24/7 gospel music, playing some of the best independent and mainstream gospel artists on the planet. And, yeah, that's about it. If you're a new artist and you got music you want to get out there, hit me up, leewill@gmail.com. Please, ma'am, please, sir, send me a mastered MP3 photo and a short bio, and make sure your song is released because my radio station is a charting radio station, and we pay royalties, and I'm not playing your stuff if it hadn't been released. All right, I have the honorable, the most reverend, the most adored Bishop Hamner. How are you, sir?
I am well. God bless you, Jay Will. God bless you. It's good to be here again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure having you on with these various discussion topics that you come up with. And I think it's some pretty interesting thing. This week, we're going to be talking about, if you haven't seen on the screen already, we're going to be talking about the California wildfires that happened. And I looked up a couple of things here, Bishop, and it says, how did the fire start? And it says that it was fueled by powerful winds and dry conditions. A series of ferocious wildfires erupted on January 7th and roared across Los Angeles area, killing at least 29 people, including some who died trying to prevent the fires from engulfing their homes and destroying thousands of structures. Some have also theorized that the Eaton Fire in Pasadena was caused by wind-failed power lines falling down. I thought they get that stuff fixed out by now, man, but wind fell power lines, or that of or the Palisades fire was seeded by the embers of smaller fires the week before. But the list of possibilities come from car engines idling over dry grass and different stuff like that can ignite fires. I did read where the AccuWeather revised the preliminary estimates of the total damage of the economic losses from the fire, and it's expected to be between $250 billion to $275 billion, and it's still unclear what impact the fire will have on the ratings of individual insurers that they have a significant presence in California. But saying all that, Smokey the Bear ain't doing his job. You know, when I was growing up, they had Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent forest fire. Man, that's right. What's going on in California, Bishop?
Well, it was a combination of several factors. One is definitely global warming. The other one is a dry climate. So between global warming that caused a dry climate, and also it was a capacity issue. And there's two forms that you need to really deal with there when we're referring to capacity. The capacity of the hydrants versus the capacity of the firefighters that were actually there. Those were the underlying causal factors there. So one, most importantly, it's going to be climate change. Secondly, climate change caused the environment to be dry. Other than that, it was the capacity of the fire hydrants, which we really want to get into, and then the actual capacity of the firefighters and how they went about putting out those fires. So another thing that's very unique about where this fire took place, historically, it is known as a wildfire area. So before humans started living there and the climate became drier, the area was already designated as a wildfire zone. Huh. Just like down, and you can speak to this more than anyone because it impacted you, down in New Orleans, that was considered flood zones. So Americans are now building in the United States in what is historically flood zones. They haven't been for the last 100 years, but for 200 years, it was a flood zone. California built in an area that was historically a wildfire zone, but since in the last 100 years, it had not. They figured that weather patterns, apparently, because people were not here 100 years ago, were going to circle back around. That was the underlying and greater issue. We are building in areas that historically we should not be building in. And we're not equipping the new neighborhoods with the capacity to fight what has been historical disaster zones. And it was made more complicated because of the capacity of the hydrants and the capacity of the firefighters in how they actually tackled that fire.
Yeah. So, I mean, that you said a mouthful there. Certainly, you don't want to build your house on the sand.
That's what the word says.
Well, I knew you catch on to that. That's why I said that. But you don't want to build your house on the sand. Come on, bro. You know, it's some stuff just don't make sense. But I do want to circle back around because you mentioned as an effect of global warming, and it's cold. I'm cold. So how could global warming affect, you know, places like that? Is that climate warmer than it is in the Midwest or Idaho?
That is a great question. So when we're talking about climate change, there's two things that are going to impact the climate. The ozone, the outer layer of the ozone, and then something that's called the jet stream. And the way the jet stream works, when outer atmosphere air particles comes in and they mingle with our historical jet stream patterns, the jet stream is either going to pull air from cold zones or it's going to pull air from heated zones. Huh. And the outer ozone layer and the outer atmosphere and pollutions in the atmosphere actually impact the what is called the jet stream. So once that jet stream that is used to either pull air from Canada or pull air from Houston. So in this area here, we experienced a very warm spell in November after the Thanksgiving season. Traditionally, in this region, in the Midwest, our based on the jet stream, our air either is going to come from Canada or Detroit. So when the jet stream pulls down air from Canada or Detroit, then that air is traditionally colder. So the fact that the jet stream is not pulling from its traditional areas, that's because of the climate changing. The warming seas are changing the atmosphere because they are warming. And then this year, the jet stream pulled a lot of warm air from Houston, and we didn't mind because we had 65-degree days, 70-degree days going into December, because instead of the jet stream pulling air traditionally from Detroit or Canada, it start pulling it up from Houston area, from the Texas area. So climate change actually talks about not only the planet warming. So with the planet warming, you're going to receive more unpredictable weather patterns. So that's how climate change is impacting different regions. So if your area was traditionally warm, like in Texas, they just got another 2 inches of snow, 5 inches of snow in Texas. So that's the jet stream pulling air from a different climate zone that it has historically pulled from. And because of that, that's why Texas got the weather that they received, because the jet stream just pulled air from a different zone. And that's what happens when you have pollution, the ozone, you get weather patterns that are very inconsistent with historical weather patterns. And all of that is that jet stream pulling air from different atmospheres because of climate change.
So that's what Al Gore was talking about.
Oh, very good point.
When he won the Nobel Peace Prize, he was saying, the jet stream, people, the jet stream is moving.
That is correct.
I was like, you know, I was young. I ain't really know no better. I was like, Al Gore is crazy. Yeah, that's what I was saying to myself, man. Nobody know nothing about no jet stream. What is he talking about?
That's correct.
But he was talking about the shifting of the jet streams from his, you know, his normal patterns, and the different various patterns causes a different effect in certain demographics based on the heat or the cold that's coming into that region via the jet stream.
That is correct. So, and that's why so many people, it's not, the science is complicated. Explaining it is not complicated. Again, people from Texas, and I don't want to get in trouble with the president, they're getting their hot air from the Gulf of America. It's the Gulf of Mexico. I ain't paying no attention. It's the Gulf of Mexico. But they're pulling that air from, that's where the air was coming from the Gulf of America. No, it's not. It's the Gulf of Mexico. So it's coming from the Gulf of Mexico. But if that jet stream down in the Texas region is not pulling air from there, but instead is pulling that air from Detroit, from Canada, or from some more colder climates, and it's drawing it down. So when the ozone layers opens up, I know in this region, several years ago, we got something, you get that polar vortex when that jet stream pulls in air from the outer atmosphere of the Earth. So we're getting a lot of that cold air from what is essentially outer space. And like a funnel or like a straw, if you could think about it, you could think of a straw, how if you send things from the top of the straw, it rolls straight down in the funnel. And the funnel aspect is going to be a whirlwind. Scriptures talks about the whirlwind and being caught up in the whirlwind. So you're pulling air down like you would in a straw. And it's, and anytime you use like a straw, if you can keep that in your mind, that's pretty direct. It's going down wall. So when you pull that cold air down and it sucks it down, that's when you get those extreme weather pattern changes. And when the jet stream shifts, that's where you get those extreme patterns.
So as a result of that, we experience some turbulent wind.
Correct.
Over dry land.
Correct.
After it was ignited. And so go ahead.
Let's talk about a fire. A fire is something called a tetrahedron. So it is basically three elements. It is fuel, it is heat, and it is oxygen. So if you remove one of the three, either fuel, you remove the heat, or you remove the oxygen, then you no longer have a fire. But as long as you have oxygen, which actually is, so oxygen itself does not burn. All oxygen is an accelerant. So you can't ignite oxygen. It's just an accelerant. But when you add the fuel and the heat is going to be the fire, the actual combustion, the oxygen to heat and a fuel, when you add oxygen then accelerates it. So in California, the Santa Ana winds literally, not figuratively, literally turned California into a blowtorch. Now, I can't do this now, and please don't do it at home, but you can see it demonstrated on YouTube. But if you take a compressed air container, such as hairspray, that is flammable, and you take a fuel with heat, which is like a lighter. And if you put that hairspray on top of that lighter and point it in that direction, you're going to see what oxygen does to that flame. So the flame sits by itself, real nice and pretty. But when you put an accelerant with a fuel, which is hairspray, is essentially a fuel, and it's in a compressed container, which is air, and it blows on top of fire, it actually turns into a blowtorch. So in California, essentially what you had was a lighter with a flame And that hairspray magnified a million times over, which is why you had the damage the way you had it, because oxygen is an accelerant. So when you had those high winds, it was a blowtorch, and it wasn't going to win.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard in the disclosure, we're not responsible or liable for any losses. He already said don't do this, but if you decide to do it, we're not responsible. And if you burn your house down,
you're going to burn it up.
It's just, don't do
because
it.
Because hairspray is sticky. It's sticky, and it's going to stick to something. But that little science experiment, and they do it often in a controlled environment, that science experiment, that lets you see, and it demonstrates. I can have actually my son get a video and send that, and we'll have that as a clip. He can find that demonstration on YouTube right quick, and we'll show you that, because it's important for people to understand that when it comes to destruction, and we're talking about man, and because we want to calm people's nerves during this time that they believe is uneasy. And when you look at the devastation that was caused in California, there is currently no man-made missile that can cause the square footage devastation that these fires caused. Do you have one of those videos ready?
So while he's looking for that, I want to show this video.
California can now fully focus on recovery. The CAL FIRE confirming last night that the deadly Palisades and Eaton fires are contained at 100%. Both fires began over 3 weeks ago on January 7th. Over 37,000 acres of land and homes were burned.
So the very first video showed you what I was referring to, which was the blowtorch. With the winds, the fire, the heat, the fuel, and the oxygen. But when you look at the overall devastation, there is no nuclear weapon known to man that can cause that type of square footage devastation. Man can't do it. The only being that can do it is the Almighty. The Almighty showed us a sample of what is going to occur. So according to the book of Revelation, that's why these California fires are so important. The Almighty is allowing this to be done. We told you why. We're not saying the Almighty did the fire. The fire is in part, partial, because of global warming, because people built inside of a wildfire area, and fire hydrants and capacity. So it wasn't the Almighty. This was man-made from global warming, to building in an area that they should not have built, to not having the capacity to actually fight it or the creativity of the capacity to fight it. But when we look at the book of Revelations, Revelations 8 and 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. What we are trying to show to calm people's nerves is that the Almighty, Yahweh, simply for those who believe and know about Revelation 8 and 7, we see what Yahweh is able to do in California. Now, the scriptures in Revelation 8 and 7 is telling you a third of every green thing is going to burn. So for people who might say, that is impossible, Yahweh sent things like California to show preachers like myself to be able to demonstrate to you, this is how Yahweh is going to do it. And once you look at the total devastation, Revelations 8 and 7 looks totally plausible. What happened in California was a tragedy. And the speed at which the fire spread was unreal.
Yeah. I mean, 37,000 acres. That's a lot of acres. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that lost homes. You know, I don't know what the insurance scheme looks like in California. No,
they're going to, you got to send that to, Javon is going to send you that video. He sent a YouTube link and he put it in there, but he's going to send that to you. But so that devastation, what we're trying to bookmark with the devastation, the 37, it wasn't 37,000 acres.
Yes.
So, but the 37,000, there is no nuclear weapon that's going to cause the current devastation that we saw in California. It can't, I'm saying it can't happen. A nuclear weapon can only do so much destruction, only so much. So nuclear weapons are not going to destroy the earth because they blow out. The radiation is going to kill a lot of people, but the weapons themselves cannot destroy a third of every green thing on the earth. It cannot. It's just the technology does not exist. The capacity does not exist. So when it comes to the earth being destroyed, Yahweh is going to destroy the earth.
Yeah. You can't stop him from doing what he do.
You cannot stop Yahweh from doing what he's doing. But again, when we look at California, we need to bookmark that with Revelations 8 and 7. So when the Almighty says he's going to destroy a third of the green things, he's going to do it the way he said, just don't know when. But since I know and I see a very similar destruction, then that really should pull Revelations 8 and 7 a lot closer to your heart from the standpoint of this is doable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely doable. And again, there's nothing you can do about it.
That's correct.
Because let's jump into, you know, so let me say this. I was looking at the news the other day, and they was talking about the mayor of California, who was in Africa at the time the fires was going on, and they was really giving her grief about, oh, you weren't there, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying to myself, it wouldn't have made no difference if she was there or not. What you gonna do?
So it's so important that we talk about that she was not, the mayor was not derelict in her duties by being gone. The fire department were not derelict in their response. This was a capacity issue of fire hydrants. And when it comes to fire hydrants, which is very important, and this is where people need to just do their research and understand, there's supposed to be a fire hydrant for 20 homes. The problem with one fire hydrant for 20 homes, that's for an average home of 2,000 square feet or less.
Huh.
The homes that were burning in a palisade were significantly larger than that.
Huh.
So let's say a fire hydrant that is traditional is made to put out a fire for a home, 20 homes, averaging 2,000 square feet. That means one fire hydrant in the palisades, if your house is 10,000 square feet, would not be able to put out 20 other homes in that neighborhood, would it?
No.
So if you do that quick math, right? So one home in the Palisades was actually five fire hydrants capacities short.
Huh.
So that means when the firefighters went in, the hydrants that they would have been using could have only put out one to two homes before they reached max capacity, three at the most.
So they didn't have the capacity or the pressure because they didn't have enough hydrants? Or was it a lack of water?
Because the hydrant wasn't designed to put out any home more than 2,000 square feet per hydrant for 20 homes. But if your home has more than 2,000 square feet, if it has 10,000, if you have two homes that are burning at 10,000 square feet apiece, but you got five of them, you only going to put out two, and three got to burn. But yeah. when you got these high winds and all five are burning together, you're never going to have a capacity.
Yeah, and also...
You see where the math now, you're already fighting behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and also the winds were taking the embers from those fires and blowing them elsewhere.
So that means the five, the two that you were putting out, you could not put out the three, and they ignited more homes that were greater than 2,000 square feet, man. Which means the next hydrant is not going to be able to work. So let's talk about it like this. So the amount of water that comes out of an average fire hydrant is going to be between 500 to 1,500 gallons per minute at a flow rate of 1,500 gallons per minute. That's going to be your average fire hydrant. So that means that the hydrants that they had for the Palisades, the size of the homes, they were always going to run out of capacity. Even if they had enough water in the reservoir, the way the water was going to consume the homes, unless they had their hydrants tapped into the ocean, they were always going to run out of capacity, because the homes and the fire hydrants were made to put out one home at a time. No fire hydrant that's one per 20 homes will be able to extinguish the entire neighborhood. Not only the volume would not be there of water, the pressure would not have been there. So that means the mayor that was not there, even if she were there and present, the capacity never would have been there. And the firefighters always would have been fighting uphill and never could have been able to extinguish those fires because of the hydrants, the capacity of the hydrants, along with the square footage of the homes that they were extinguishing. It never, the math never was going to work.
So is there a type of flow rate designed by color? So if I got a blue fire, if I got a blue fire hydrant in my neighborhood, what does that mean?
That means that the flow rate is going to be 1,500 gallons per minute. If you have an orange fire hydrant in your neighborhood, that means the flow rate is going to be between 500 and 1,000. Most have yellow fire hydrants that are still going to range between 800 gallons to 1,500 gallons of flow per minute. That's what the color code represents. How many gallons are going to flow, but it doesn't matter. The fire suppression system for a neighborhood, for the most part, is designed to handle 20 homes per hydrant. And when you see a one alarm fire, that means one firehouse. A two alarm fire refers to two different firehouses and two different fire trucks. A three-alarm fire means three different firehouses, three different fire trucks, and each fire truck has a capacity of water and foam on their truck, but it's only to fight in unison for one home or two homes, not a neighborhood with blowtorch winds at the same time.
So I've only seen, like, mostly red fire hydrants.
That's in our area, which means they have a flow rate of less than 500 per minute. And the reason why...
That can't even put out a brush fire.
That is not going to put out a brush fire. That's barely putting out your garbage can. Barely.
Come on, man. Putting out your garbage can. They set us up to fail.
Yes. So there's just not a lot that I'm just so glad you brought the mayor in. There's not a lot that mayor could have done. There's not a lot that the fire department could have done. This issue was caused because people built homes that were too large for the capacity of the hydrants, the flow rate of the hydrant, and the reservoir, even if they had access to it, still could not have met the moment of where they were at that catastrophe. It would not have happened.
The fire trucks were driving to a different location to fill back up their trucks and then driving back to try to put those fires out. All the time that was wasted. It wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
So that's what we're talking about. The reason they had to leave is because the capacity was only meant to fight a square footage based on their flow rate. So they never were going to win. The only thing they could have done was designed a fire suppression system that would handle the capacity of the homes. And then they needed the imagination that this is a wildfire zone. And they would have had to build a system to put out the entire community of 200 to 300 to 400 homes at one time. And currently, the fire suppression engineering design did not and does not have that type of imagination. So this was always going to happen if the perfect scenario occurred. So the mayor being out of town was not the issue. The fact that the fire chief might have been or is not transgender or lesbian or whatever the designation would be, that didn't matter. Even if they had access to helicopters, which they did not because of the high winds, none of that would have mattered. They needed more capacity for the size of the homes, which did not exist. And even if it did exist, it had to be attached to the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, that's some powerful stuff. So what does it mean when you have like flow rates by location?
So the flow rate by location is based on the square footage of the homes.
Okay.
And whether or not it's attached to, when you drive by a lot of towers that are painted very colorfully, and they stand up, and most of them are oval, and they're water towers. Uh-huh. That's where the majority of the water is going to come from. It's going to come from a water tower, or it's going to come from a reservoir. And pressure actually is not pumped into people's home. The pressure that people are feeling is the actual weight that is in the water. And those water towers are always placed at the highest point. And the water falls. That fall is what creates the pressure that is applied in everybody's home and the fire hydrants, which must be checked regularly to make sure that they are operating in full capacity. That's why firefighters always go by and check the hydrants. That's one of the things they're doing. They're making sure that the flow rate is accurate and the pressure is accurate. So that's a part of their job. But when you have a fire hydrant that can't handle the capacity of the neighborhood, because the imagination is not that the entire neighborhood is going to burn down. That's why these hydrants are able to put out a home, because it's only one or two homes. But if you notice, if you have three different trucks there, they all don't hook up to one hydrant.
Right.
They find the other one per 20 that is in that neighborhood, and they pull from that. But when you have all working at the same time, this is what you got to imagine. So if you got five fire hydrants all running 1,500 gallons of water per minute, it ain't going to take long to exhaust whatever source of water you got.
Right.
One fire hydrants running at 1,500 gallons per minute, unless you tapped into the ocean, your reservoir, don't care how big, is not going to extinguish that fire. So that was the issue. And California insurance companies are actually pulling out of California.
Ooh.
And it's hard to find a private insurer. But a lot of times you have, the state has to insure that home. But that just means you pay more in taxes, which is why, you know, taxes are so high in flood zones. Taxes are so high in wildfire areas because private insurers, they don't cover. The state has to pick up that liability. And a lot of them are pulling out of California because of the potential of a wildfire. And they definitely are not coming back. They're going to file for bankruptcy and not pay, and then allow FEMA, that is about to be gutted by the current administration. FEMA, which is a government organization, they're going to have to try to make whole all of the homeowners there, because it would completely cause an insolvency in any insurance company to cover all that damage. They don't have that capital. They just don't. But again, the issue is capacity. And there was no way all of those fire hydrants went at the same time. So when people are saying, I didn't have any pressure, it's because all of them were operating at the same time. And that automatically reduces the limited pressure that was coming from the same location. There's nothing that you can do about that. It was coming from a different location. They would have needed to pump from the ocean to get that water there.
So let me ask,
and allow the reservoirs to do that work.
Let me ask a question. So if you're paying an insurance company a premium a month, and then when it's time for you to collect on your premium, and they say they don't have the funds to dig you out of the hole or replace what you've lost, isn't that kind of fraudulent?
No, that's not fraudulent.
But you can't sell. Okay, if you say you selling chicken dinners, and you say you get 3 pieces of chicken for $5, and then when I get my box, I only have 2 pieces of chicken in there, that's fraud.
That is fraud. So the difference between that and insurance company is every insurance company has to be able, their capital must cover all of the clients that they currently have under their umbrella. Excuse me. The difference between a catastrophe is that the business model does not say that you have to cover, let's use whole numbers. I'm an insurance company. I have 100 homes. I have to be able to cover 100 homes. But no model says I have to be able to cover 100 homes at one time. So even though an insurance carrier has millions of clients, the code that governs insurance companies does not say they have to pay all claims at one time. They simply have to pay the claims of the people when they're covered. But the model says there is no situation that would arise that you would have to pay it all out at one time. There isn't only capital reserves that can pay millions of claims at one time is the federal government.
Yeah,
that's why the federal government, which is FEMA, steps in to help these private companies, because they never had that money to pay out everybody, but they can pay out their claims as they trickle in. But to pay everybody at one time, they don't have the capital for that. That's why they have to file bankruptcy to protect the capital that they do have so that they can become solvent later.
So,
and all of that is important for people to understand when they're out there. It's not that they're cheating you. There are too many claims at one time. And again, let's go back to that word capacity. The insurance companies don't have the capacity in their capital reserves to cover all of that. And but they shouldn't, because it is a worst case scenario. And business models aren't based on paying insurance companies. Business models aren't designed on worst case scenario payout. That's why you got the federal government.
So I hear you say that, but I'm gonna remain saved when I make this point. I'm highly upset if I've been paying this insurance premium to insurance company A, and three of the houses on my block suffer a catastrophe. What have you been doing my money? So I should not be able to insure. If I insure my home for $200,000 and my home is destroyed, I want $200,000. I don't want to hear no excuses about you don't have no capacity, about you don't have no capital. You've been taking my doggone premium. And somebody's, we're going to have, that's going to be a misunderstanding. There's going to be some furniture moving because I got a $200,000, $300,000 policy. I don't care nothing about nobody else's stuff. I care about mine. I want my money. I'm like, what's that J.D. Wentworth? It's my money, and I want it now.
I want it now. Yeah, I want it now. So that is a great scenario. You got three homes, three homeowners insured with the same insurer, and you all three want to get paid because of some type of calamity that occurred in your neighborhood. You are 100% correct. According to the current laws, that insurance company would have to pay out for those three homes. The problem is when a hurricane comes. So now you understand why insurance companies don't want to insure in hurricane zones, because they're going to be responsible for, if they send their agents out and sign up 200 homes, that means when a hurricane comes through and wipe out that 200 homes, they're going to have to pay 200 homes. And the premium that they collected for you, which is supposed to be extrapolated over your lifetime, is going to be paid before their tables mature. They don't have the money saved up. That's why they don't send their agents into these flood zones, into these hurricane zones, into these fire zones, because they don't want the responsibility of paying $200,000 for the 200 homes that was in the middle of a hurricane, a forest fire, or a flood. This is exactly why they don't want to insure, and why insurance companies are pulling out of these areas, and why the state has to cover them.
So, you know, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but they,
man, start
they,
digging. I'm there for you. Start digging.
They had some folks, and this kind of correlates with what the people are going to have to deal with insurance in California. In Florida, they had a hurricane to come through, and they had these crooked adjusters going through.
That is correct.
Undervaluing these people's houses. People were getting a $60,000 check for a $300,000 home.
That is correct.
And I assume, I hope they've cleared that up, because if this happens in California, there's going to be some mad folks around here.
No, it's going to happen in California. So you really got to read what you sign. And unfortunately, again, everybody's in it to make money. And this is why you need regulatory agencies to protect the little guy who can't afford to hire lawyers.
Right.
This is why you have agencies that are out there. I don't want to call these agencies out, but they're non-government entity agencies that fight on behalf of the small guy and their lawyers. And the reason why they exist is for times like this, because corporations take advantage of individuals. Because an individual does not have access to wisdom, lawyers, or capital. They ain't got anything. And when you are in a calamitous situation, you're not thinking long term. You need a fix right now. So they send in these very smooth-talking adjusters with pens and checks. And their goal is to get you to sign on the dotted line and get you to take less so that the company does not have to pay out, because as we talked about, the company doesn't have the capacity, because of the company, their business model is the average person is going to live 30 years. I'll get 30 years of this $200 a month premium. About time it's ever paid out, I would have collected that money. And there are several people who are going to pay me for 30 years and they're never going to collect. So I'll be able to use that money as leverage to pay out other claims. Or what insurance companies really do, they take your claim money and they buy bonds and they buy stocks and companies and they invest that money in a larger pool to grow it so that in case they have to liquidate to pay out, they can. So they keep both. They keep liquid cash and they keep money in stocks and bonds, government bonds, or they buy maturities from stock houses and things like that. They invest that money differently, hoping that you won't need it and hoping that some people will never use it because they'll die. But in the case of a calamity, they got to pay everything out right now, and they just don't have it. They do not have it. But there are government agencies that protect you from companies like that who file bankruptcy. But then that's where FEMA comes in to help keep these insurance companies solvent so that you can get your money. But later, somebody else still got to pay FEMA, and that's why taxes keep going up. Federal government taxes keep going up for the state. One of the many reasons, because I got to keep covering these damages. The key is going to be, one, when it comes to a fire suppression system for a neighborhood, they have to start engineering creatively. And like these homes, these neighborhoods with these huge homes, I mean, your home 5,000, 10,000 square feet, if the whole neighborhood go up, it's all just going to burn. And then if one insurance company covered them all, they got to pay them all. So the engineering has to be able to handle the capacity of the homes and neighborhoods. And even today, most fire hydrants are only able to put out no more than 20 homes, and they're not going to put them all out together.
So
it just doesn't exist.
So basically, as far as the insurance goes, we're all getting Bernie Madoffed.
That is correct. It's all, insurance company is a legal pyramid scheme. It is legal to take monthly money from people thinking that they're never going to need it. I'm going to take some of this money and invest it, and I'm going to rob from Peter to pay Paul. That is the insurance model.
That's Bernie Madoff all day long, man. He went to jail for that.
But it's okay. As long as where there is no law, there is no transgression. So as long as they got the laws on their side, you can do whatever you want to. Hey, as long as you got the law on your side, you can do whatever you want to do. And insurance companies are protected in that practice. But there are regulatory agencies that make sure that insurance companies don't overinsure, which is speaking towards their inability to pay all these claims if they all were to happen in large numbers. So there are regulatory agencies that make sure that these insurance companies don't overinsure and just take everybody money and say, well, it's never happened and it's never going to happen. And then you get California and they're like, oh man, it happened.
I know it. We just lost $50 billion because I invested it in some, you know, pork bellies.
And that is correct.
I don't Bernie Madoff your money. Like,
that is correct. That is,
man,
correct.
They should be glad. I'm, you know, some of them people are going to be like Judge Dredd. They are the law.
Some people are going to take it in their own hands. That is a problem in California. But Californians, not all of them had insurance anyway, and that's unfortunate. But that,
well, I thought that was illegal though.
No. So if you own your home, it's paid for. A lot of the homes in California are actually handed down through generation to generation. So it's paid for. So if your home is paid for and you don't have someone carrying your mortgage, it's up to you whether or not you want that home insured or not.
And oh, man. So that's crazy stuff.
Well, and then some of the people, it isn't that they didn't want insurance. As we're discussing, insurance companies are smart. Like, I'm not insuring you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. And then the state has to pick that up. But if you don't pay the premium for the state, then, you know, you just, there's a lot of limbo out there because people can't afford it. They can't find insurance. But there's a lot of those people out in California who are not insured.
Man.
Yeah. That's and crazy. There is no remedy for them other than they have the value of the property. that they'll be able to sell. But FEMA will step in, a government agency, and help a good portion of them who had no insurance. They will help them. Now, and the other thing that an insurance company is going to do that people don't understand, they don't read the fine print, insurance company is only going to make you whole. So just because you got an insurance policy for $200,000, that does not necessarily mean you're going to get a payout of $200,000. They only have to make you whole. That's it. And whole might not be the $200,000 that you thought you was paying for.
Yeah, I'm going to be holding my hands around somebody's throat.
Well, and unfortunately, not to, there, and it was health insurance. It wasn't property insurance. There is a health insurance CEO who actually lost his life at the hands of a young person who, based on what we're talking about, the bureaucracy of it all, the insulting of it all, the dehumanizing of it all, took the CEO's life on the street.
Yeah.
Because he took matter into his own hand. We're not suggesting that that happens.
No, don't do that.
Clearly, hey, where iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what's going to continue to occur. But there are several key points. One, when it comes to these fires, know that Revelations 8 and 7 is going to happen. Know that Matthew 24, 4 through 13 is going to happen. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. We take comfort because the Almighty prepares a way for his people, even in a famine. Even in a time of trouble, the Almighty makes a way of escape for his people. So during these times and we see these signs, we're praying for everybody. And we're opening up the door of understanding, wisdom, and knowledge so people can come into the ark of safety and have a greater understanding of what's going on so that they can prepare themselves for the potential of a calamity so that you won't be caught off guard. But it's to your advantage to just gear up, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in these troubled times. My prayers are to all of them, but to that mayor in California, nothing she could have done. To the police department, nothing they could have done, because rich people wanted to build big homes and they did not care that the fire hydrant would not meet the capacity. They did not care that the reservoir would not meet the capacity because they weren't around the last time a forest fire ripped through that forest fire zone. They weren't around. Yeah. And now that they are, they see that the infrastructure is not that it's lacking. It just can't exist.
Can you put a fire hydrant? Can I put a fire hydrant on my own property?
You can put a fire hydrant on your own property, and you can attach it to your own pump, and you can have water put inside a reservoir so that you can put it out, and then it will be inspected by your local fire department. But yes, everyone in California who was rich could have put their own fire suppression system in their house, independent of the one that the city had. Yes.
So which is better, the fire hydrant suppression or the foam?
So unfortunately, the foam is cancerous.
No. They don't already got us with the aluminum.
So they got the firefighters with the foam as well. So that's very cancerous. The foam that they were using was very cancerous. The problem with the foam is still going to be a capacity issue. You're going to run out of material to create the foam.
So we shouldn't even be using it if it's cancerous. I mean,
tell that to the firefighters who's still using it, walking in it. Now, a lot of things are caustic. A lot of things are hazardous. But if you have the proper PPE on, then you can work around it. Firefighters understand personal protective equipment, and they know what to wear. What happened to the firefighters any firefighter that was using that phone had access to something called an SDS, a safety data sheet.
Yeah.
And had they read the safety data sheet for the phone that they were using, and that the, all of that was made available, that would have told them that this is a very hazardous material that could cause cancer. And the SDS would have told all of those firefighters the appropriate PPE to use when they are, for whatever reason, utilizing it or coming in contact with it. While those firefighters did not read the SDS and just use that phone, you know, it's beyond, I don't know. But we're talking about two different things now. They could have used that phone, but had they used that phone, they still would have ran out of material because it was literally a forest fire in a neighborhood with Santa Ana winds that turned it into a blowtorch. I don't know if you can pull that video up with the fire and the hairspray.
No. Did he send it to my email?
Yes, he sent that to your email.
I had to find it. But while I'm looking for that, let me show this other video.
Yes, let's see this other video.
This is a before and after of the fires. That's some horrible stuff.
Well, so when you look at, and a lot of that was specific Palisades. So hydrants failed after three tanks, each holding 1 million gallons of water. Most people think 1 million gallons of water is a pretty significant amount. Not when you're talking about 1,500 gallons per minute and you're doing fire hydrants. So with that capacity, holding 1 million gallons of water, it went dry in 12 hours. So that means it's not that it went dry. So there's something called an ignition, and then there's something called it's heat. So when something is heated or hot, you have to take it below its what's called ignition temperature. An ignition temperature for something like gasoline is going to be very low. So an ignition is a spark. So scratch that. For gasoline, it could actually be the static electricity that is created when you touch something could ignite a lot of different things. But let's just say gasoline, a spark. So a cigarette by itself is not going to ignite gasoline. It's an ignition temperature. So when something is ignited, it has to be cooled. So when something is at, let's just put an easy temperature. Let's say something, your oven is going to heat to 350. So that's something that people understand is 350. And several things people understand with an oven. If your oven element takes 5 minutes to reach its max temperature of 3 minutes, you'll notice that it takes longer than 5 minutes for you to be able to touch that element again.
Right.
Now that it reached its max heat temperature, it now has to cool. But the time it takes for it to cool is oftentimes longer than it takes for it to heat or reignite. There is no way as hot as those fires were, over 1,500 degrees. When you use water by itself, a good portion of the water actually evaporates before it even hits the fire. So not only is it not cooling what it's touching, it's actually evaporating before it touches it, before it cools down.
Man.
With that in mind, there's no way they could have made it because it was so hot that the water was evaporating before it hit contact. And then the amount of time it took to get it cool enough so that you didn't need water, there would have not been enough water to move on. This is what they were running into. It was just too hot. It took too long to cool it down. And even after they cooled it down, they didn't have enough water to keep it cool, which is why it reignited without any source, because it was at its self-ignition temperature. It got so hot that it didn't need nothing. It had plenty of oxygen, plenty of fuels too. It was just going to continue to reignite. So they had 1 million gallons of water, 12 hours, and they went dry. Only thing they could have done was tapped into the ocean. That's it. That's it.
And that wouldn't have been good either, because it's salt water.
So salt water would have created another hazardous environment. That is correct.
Yeah, because, I mean, salt is a, you know, conduit.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. No, so there's nothing. Nothing. There's nothing they could have done other than build a system to handle the size. So people need to stop thinking these are average 2,000 square foot homes. No. These 10,000 square foot homes are greater. There's no way. The capacity was there. Then after that, it got too hot. After it got too hot, the water that they were using was evaporating before. It could not cool it down, the fire, fast enough. Just like the element in your oven, it takes a while to heat up, but it takes longer to cool down for you to touch it. Same thing with a fire. So they were behind science with this fire in California. It wasn't the fire department. It wasn't even the engineering department that designed the fire suppression system, because there is no fire suppression system that could handle it. It's not the insurance companies who are crooks and criminals. No insurance company has a model to be able to cover a damage of that swath. It just, they don't exist. Between the fire putting out the capacity or the capacity to pad all those claims, those two things don't exist. The only thing we could have done was not built in that zone so that we weren't caught in that scenario and situation.
So how many fire hydrants should be?
One fire hydrant for every 20 homes, but that's 20 homes that are 2,000 square feet or so. That's not for homes that are 10,000 square feet. So a 10,000 square foot home really should have its own fire hydrant mandated with it so that it doesn't pull from the capacity of other homes that are not that size.
Wow. Hey, I got that video clip. Here we go.
That's exactly what happened.
Come on, man. Like, but who plays with stuff like that?
That's science. That's just, again, that's compressed air with a fuel and a heat source. But that's exactly what happened in California with that fire and the wind. And the pictures that you showed, that was the blowtorch effect. And again, oxygen is an accelerant. It itself is not a fuel, just an accelerant. It makes it worse. It makes it stronger. It makes it hotter. Well, if it gets hotter, you need something to cool it down.
Right.
And water, again, it was evaporating before. Foam would have helped, but it wasn't enough foam. They would have had to have semi-trucks already staged and prepared.
And it still wouldn't have been enough.
Behind the eight ball from the time it started. They would have had to put out the very first fire wherever it started. They had to put that out first. Handle that first. But there was no way. And then it just got calamitous.
I do want to tell everybody to check with your local fire department and water utility. Yes. To determine the specific requirements for a hydrant placement and flow rates in your area. I mean, these are questions that you can contact your local fire department and find out this information. They should be willing to give you this information, considering and if they don't know, they should know. They should want to know.
They're going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know. No, they're going to know. Because in California, again, they can service between 10 and 20 homes. But out here, you know, we don't have homes necessarily the size of the homes that are in California. But your local firefighter, according to zoning, they're going to know. They're going to know. But the homes are just too big. And they did not have enough fire hydrants, millions of gallons of water for a forest fire. Is nothing. It's just nothing. It's like putting trying to find a way to chlorinate the ocean. You can chlorinate a swimming pool with no problem, but I don't think you can chlorinate the ocean. There's no way.
No.
There's just no way. But you chlorinate your swimming pool all the time.
Yeah, but then we're going to kill all the fish.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the ability to get something clean.
Oh.
Just because you can clean your swimming pool don't mean you can clean the ocean.
Facts.
It's a capacity. And there's just no way to do it, which means you don't ever, you should never try to chlorinate the ocean because you can't do it. So
right,
there are
right.
certain things that we should not be doing. We should not be building in flood zones. We should not be building in historical wildfire zones. We should not be building in hurricane alleys or tornado alleys. And insurance companies should not be obligated to insure these people because they couldn't pay if all of them submitted a claim at one time.
Man. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been affected by the fires in California, email Bishop Hamler at truthministries30@gmail.com. And if you'd like to tell your side of the story, or you could email me at leewildtheletterj@gmail.com. That is Bishop Hamler at truthministries30@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up at leewildtheletterj@gmail.com. Bishop, you got any final thoughts?
I want the world to know that the Almighty is still sitting on the throne. He is still in control. And man, even though they cause a lot of damage, wreak a lot of havoc, the earth, according to Revelations 8 and 7, the Almighty is going to do this. Man is not going to do it. But the Almighty still makes provisions and still has compassion and love, even in the midst of this tragedy. There is still love and compassion, goodwill. There's a lot of success. Some homes burnt, some homes didn't. Some homes were insured, some homes weren't. Some people lost valuables. Some people were able to recapture their valuables. All of it is a part of the story. But just know that the Almighty is still in control, in that whatever happens in your life, always seek help and counseling before, as we talked about earlier, you take matters into your own hands.
That's right. All right. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace.